I'm going to focus this morning on that first reading from Haggai. And if you want to follow along with it in your church Bibles, you'll find it on page 768. Haggai being one of those minor prophets whose words are not very often read out in our worship, but I think they have got something very relevant to say to us today. Essentially, the prophecy of Haggai is one about perseverance. And that passage teaches us that we shouldn't be quitters, but to persevere in serving God. At times, we all make resolutions, whether it's at the start of a year, the beginning of a new week, or just the dawning of a new day. Sometimes we get up with that resolve to try and change something about us, to try and do something differently. And we start off, as we always do, with those really good intentions. We plan it out, we plan to persevere. But on the way, we start to lose our enthusiasm and we give in to discouragement. And when that happens, we should try to persevere in that resolution that we've made. And we should do this in everything, including our resolution to follow Jesus and to pray to him. Even on that walk, at times we're going to feel discouraged and feel that God is far away from us. When that happens, we're tempted sometimes to quit praying rather than to continue what God is telling us to do and to persevere. But discouragement and despondency occur all the time. Every revival is often followed by a time of discouragement and despondency. Look at the example of Elijah in the Bible. There was great revival in Israel after the dramatic demonstration to the crowd on Mount Carmel that God, not Baal, was the true God of Israel. But soon afterwards, Elijah became discouraged when he learned of a threat to destroy him. He fled to the desert where he was so discouraged that he asked God to take his life. We need to understand that there is a devil who hates revival in our church and will do everything he can to oppose our walking God's ways. But we need, therefore, to study the words of encouragement, perhaps those words found in Haggai today, so that we can be encouraged and continue on the path of obedience towards God. We need to comfort ourselves with the words of Jesus. If you abide in my word, you will truly be my disciples. And the people whom Haggai was speaking to were a people who were discouraged. And through that prophet, God sent words of encouragement to the people. Haggai, as a prophet, was told to prophesy to Zerubbabel, the prince, Joshua, the priest, and to the people, the remnant of the Israelites. They were a people who were discouraged. And when we feel like that, we need to turn to the word of God because that will strengthen, encourage, and support us. As we look into the word of God, as we continue to read our Bibles, we will always find somewhere some words of encouragement and consolation. 1 Corinthians 14, but everyone who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. And in the letter to the Romans in chapter 15, verse 4, we read, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. So the word of God gives us strength, comfort, encouragement, and hope. If we're experiencing discouragement, the counsel or the advice of God is to look into God's words in the Bible. God's words of encouragement came to his people through Haggai on the 21st day of the seventh month. It was the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, which was supposed to be a time of joyous celebration. It wasn't a work day, so the people gathered together. So Haggai takes advantage of the situation to give to the people God's words of encouragement. It's easy for us to become discouraged as a church. Finances continue to be a constant worry. We're concerned about the state of our buildings. We've got less volunteers, aging congregations, and low attendances. And it's not just us, it happens everywhere. So how does the church grow? By what means does it grow? It grows by the proclamation of the message of God. Salvation comes through the proclamation of that message, through the power of the gospel of Jesus, given to us through his life, his ministry, and made complete in the Holy Spirit. The Lord builds his church filled with true believers. In the prophecy of Haggai, the nations are shaken, verse 7, so that the treasure of the nations will come. We're fortunate here that we've been able to welcome here people from other nations, people from far away whom God has brought to us. And isn't that a treasure worth holding on to? Isn't that something worth grasping hold of and understanding that God has done and is doing a wonderful thing? Therefore, our church grows in numbers, and through us all together, it grows in commitment. We've got a lot to share with people from all over the world, experiences, cultures, and lifestyles. So let's celebrate what we've got, and let's celebrate what we've got here in our midst, because after all, aren't we all a gift to each other as a church? Isn't each one of us so special and unique in the eyes of God? It's only our human processes that cause us to malign another person because of who they are. But God celebrates us for who we are, and we should do that too. And if we're minded to have an opinion of another just because of who they are and what they believe, just consider what their opinion might be of you. And then how do you look when God looks on you? The prophecy goes on to say that the silver is mine and the gold is mine, says God. It's often hard to talk about money and finances, but it's always easy to talk about a lack of money. It's easy to get depressed when we don't have enough for the things that we want to do. But in all of that, are we a church that actually prays about money? I suggest that sometimes we're not, and that's possibly because we're scared. We're scared because we don't understand. In October, in our preaching, we'll be having frank discussions about money and the use of our finances. I think it's important, and I think it's vital that we continue to do that. Because if we keep burying our heads in the sand, we're not going to get anywhere. God will bless us. God has blessed us. But unless we're talking about and praying about how we use what we have, we won't get anywhere. Mission costs money. It costs money to do the things that we want to do in order to make the name of Jesus known. This isn't about saying that we need more, because so many of us are simply in the position where we cannot afford to give any more. This is about using what we have wisely. And if we do so prayerfully and considerately, I believe that God will bless us and action will come through conversation. And when we give ourselves to God, truly amazing things can happen. We don't always know what they're going to be, how they'll happen, and what the outcome is going to be. But that prophecy from Haggai talks about glory. Verse 9, the latter splendor of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord. We don't know what the future is going to be like. None of us have that particular gift of prophecy. But if we're not working in the here and now to bring about the future of God's church in times to come, then what are we doing? We're just living for ourselves, our little bit that we've carved out, the things that are important to us now. If we're to be all about growing the church, we need to be praying for our future here, our part in building the kingdom of God. It may be something that none of us are going to actually see in our lifetimes, but maybe our part should be to see the vision for the future, really pray and tap into what God wants for us so that we can see the vision and work towards making it come about. And none of that is going to happen unless we pray. But God also talks about bringing peace. We are a beacon of a church set on a hill. We're quite visible, yet a lot of people don't seem to have heard about us. Wouldn't it be amazing if we could be known as a place of safety and refuge in our community? A place where people can come, feel welcome, warmed, and cheered. That doesn't mean to say immediately that we're going to have more people worshiping with us, but instead we're using what we have to serve the local community. Through our service and our opportunities for witness, people will come to know about Jesus. But they'll only come to know about Jesus if we're prepared to open our mouths and talk about Jesus in the first place. What we wear and how we present ourselves says a lot to other people about who we are. What comes out of our mouths testifies to our opinions. But if the words coming out of our mouths are not talking about Jesus, then in the end, it's simply all about us. We have to be talking Jesus constantly. We have to be meeting regularly to talk about him, to learn about him, to understand this unique relationship we have with him. I'm not saying that we're going to immediately become evangelists standing on street corners. Perhaps that's not our gifting or our calling. But God can and God will use us in many other ways. And so prayer is one of the most important things that we are all about. Through Haggai, God gave his people a divine imperative to continue building the temple and serving God. But that was not all God did. God also gave divine reasons for the imperatives. So God told the people of Haggai's time and tells us too, listen, the reason for not fearing, the reason for building, the reason we must be strong is that I am with you, to guide you, to strengthen you, to encourage you, and to provide you with everything that you need. It is this God who will provide us with manna in the desert and water from the rock. It's this God who will defend us, shelter us, go before us and behind us, and will be all around us. It is this God who will fight all our battles. God is with us. Our God is a God of great power, and no obstacle can stand in God's way. God is over history, people, and nations. Isn't that reason enough not to be depressed, not to be fearful, but instead feel strengthened to build? We will only do this if we're praying together. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.